So you stumbled upon our podcast. Thanks for joining us. So I'm Lotta Locks. This is my co-host Keys, and these are our guests, Jazz and Tay. Of the way with Jazz and Tay.
What's good?
What channel is that on now? Like what station?
So currently you can catch us live every Thursday from 7 to 8 on 1150 a.m. And then we also stream on all platforms. So you can catch us like probably an hour or two later on like Apple, Google, Spotify.
Yeah. So if you don't catch us live, it's not like you really missed us. You can catch us anywhere.
Yeah, I don't listen to the radio, but I listen to recordings of your podcast.
Yeah.
On iTunes and stuff. I like it.
The radio has really just given us an opportunity to like set a schedule for our show.
Right.
Before we were just really recording whenever we could find time. Yeah. And then we were like, you know, if we really want to do this thing, we got to find a schedule.
Yes.
And just like this really great opportunity landed in our lap after Splash Fest. Mm-hmm. So we did Splash Fest with Marshall and all of them. And after that, we formed a relationship with KKNW. And that's how that came about. So that's just really helped us to grow our content mm-hmm. and our listener base. Like we're just really able to pump out the content in a more efficient way than we ever were.
Good. I understand.
Y'all know. Y'all like, we already know.
What you smoking on, Keys?
Right now I got a little bit of snickerdoodle that I just rolled up from High Tide along with some GMO from Mama J's. I like mixing weed.
Yeah, Mama J's is nice. I definitely like High Tide as well. I reviewed a couple of their strains.
And I like Mama J's as well.
Same.
And that's one brand that I do know that if people recommend, I'm like, okay, yes, I agree. I will not disagree on that.
Booby Snacks is the strain that I've had most recently by Mama J's. Just really worth it. Really worth it.
I don't think I've had anything from them yet that hasn't hit the like really hit the spot, hit the mark. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I haven't had anything from them that was trash.
It's not an expensive one either. Like it's a nice mid-level.
I do agree with that. Well, what y'all smoking on?
What are you rolling? Hold on, that's interesting.
Is the front
is that big?
Yeah, you get a whole you get a whole leaf, and so you can roll like 12 blunts, or right?
Got it. You're not just rolling one big fatty.
Nah. I wouldn't.
Could you though? Could you though? Yeah, I was like, could you? How much would you like have to put in that though to be able to roll?
Honestly, I'd rip the main vein out, like because that shit is harsh as hell. So half a leaf, you could probably get like at least an ounce and a half a leaf.
That's a lot of weed.
Maybe an ounce and a half.
Yeah, I was thinking, because you did a half an ounce, and how much was that leaf? How much leaf did
you use? That was like a quarter of a leaf.
See?
Oh,
so you've done that, bro.
So you've done that. By yourself, did you face it?
Actually, it was me and my partner in crime slash a lady, but she quit, I'd say, about 60% of the way through, so I smoked 40% of it to the head.
Okay. That's still probably like blessed because I don't even think I would have blasted that much. Like,
absolutely.
But I will say this, I took a nap shortly thereafter. So.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly what I'm doing after that.
It was the 420 sesh, and like I remember them being on there and they had it and it was cool. Then all of a sudden they were gone.
Gone. Like, what happened?
I don't want to be laying down on a 420 sesh.
We've got some Legendary Labs.
Oh, okay.
And we're smoking Orangeade.
I've never heard of those guys.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was like.
It's a sativa hybrid. Mm-hmm. I got it from Mr. OG in West Seattle over here. I think this is only the second time that I've had that brand before. I got like a quarter from them before, and it smokes pretty nice. I would say about the same price point as like Mama J's. But it got us really high last night.
Yeah, I was going to say, it put us to sleep because, but we were leaning anyway, to be honest. There was just, yeah.
On the cake, like,
you know? Yeah, it just put it over.
We went on a hike, we had a really nice dinner, and then we smoked a blunt, and it was just, we put on that new, like, Issa Rae movie on Netflix. We put
Love
that
birds.
On. Yeah. You watch it?
Yeah.
It was funny. It was
so good.
Good.
I've heard that from like three people now. I need to watch this movie.
I just really love seeing Issa Rae in movies. I see a lot of myself in her. So it's just like, I'm happy.
I followed her career since YouTube when it was The Misadventures.
Awkward Girl.
Yeah, and it was like so great. Then it went to HBO and that blew my mind. And it was a reimagination, but even better, like no loss of quality, you know?
Yeah.
Sprinkle that Black Girl magic on it.
Right.
That's what you got to do.
That's a come up.
For sure. So, you know, shouts out to Issa Rae and what she's doing out there.
I know. Absolutely. I love her. Love her.
I wish her nothing but the best always.
I like Yvonne Orji. I don't like Molly right now, but I like Yvonne.
Same.
So I do, yeah.
It's funny, right before all of this stuff popped off, I managed to get on a trip to Dallas with a couple of girlfriends. And we were trying to figure out something to do in the city and all that stuff. And Yvonne Orji happened to be doing like a show, like a stand-up special or whatever. Yeah.
The thing that's coming out on HBO?
I actually think it might have been that, yes. I think it happened to be that. And we went and we watched her and it was a really good set. Like it was enjoyable and she's Nigerian. So she played a lot to like her Nigerian culture and that side and like that family and that kind of humor surrounding that.
Nice. Shout out to the Nigerians.
Absolutely.
You know, Black people all across the world.
Shouts out.
We do it.
You know.
I'm smoking the Minglewood cookies drop that happened out here. Shouts out to Hyperbole 502. They're in they're Everett, so they're sort of north of Seattle.
Got it.
Really, really great dispensary and has been around really since the beginning. Like they're worth it, you know, with the strains and the type of bud and the companies that they keep in their dispensary. I like them. The weed, the soap, I'm just about to try it and I'll let you know. But so far, like, it's high end. It's really sought after, I would say, right now. But I don't know if it's worth its price point. We'll see.
I like the packaging.
Yeah, totally worth it.
The packaging's cool.
Shout out to Burner. Like, I admire his marketing ability.
Can you see it on the backside? Is the backside transparent?
No, it's not transparent.
Oh, so you can't see the weed.
No,
at that's all. Right there.
I don't know about that.
So give me
the weed looks nice.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's fire.
Yeah.
It's just like $58 an eighth.
Oh, okay. So that better hit then.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. All right. So how has weed helped you recently?
Wow. Let me see. Where do I begin?
I say honestly for me, it's kind of a bit of an escape from all this stuff that's going on right now. I tend to think a lot. And so like I'm 24/7 thinking about all the ways that this stuff could be like getting back to me. And I honestly can't take that. So, you know, to smoke, it kind of relieves me of that. It's like, calm down, take a beat. You know, you're doing what you need to do to stay safe. Your family's safe. You're really good. You know, it just really helps me to like step outside myself, honestly.
And you're in Washington, which is responding. I mean, like, I'm going to say the response to it is way better than a lot of other places.
Oh my gosh.
We were just talking about that this morning. Like, we're definitely, you know, setting a tone. We're ahead of the curve, and that's great. But we have such a long way to go. And it's that reality that's daunting.
Like, it really baffles me that there are states that don't have any rules right now.
Yeah.
Like Texas.
They're just out
she
here.
Was telling me about Texas and I'm like, so like they're just out here like it's a regular day.
Same, honestly. I am somebody who already smokes, I feel like, multiple times a day. I wake up and I generally smoke a bowl and if I'm listening to music, it just kind of really puts me in a better music mood. I hear the music better. I feel the music better. And me being somebody who the music I listen to, it enhances that for me. And that's been really helpful. I've been listening to Shantae knows certain music just on repeat gets me in my feelings. But there was a short period of time in which like I was really upset about, you know, not having my job the way that I had it before. And like, I'm still blessed in which to have a job, but my hours were reduced and I was being ungrateful in that sense of, you know, I have a job. Not many people can say that right now. I was abusing it in that sense of like, I'm just going to smoke all day. And I was going through my weed. I wasn't really, you know, I was just smoking just to smoke and I was just high all the time. Now I'm kind of reducing that. I'm back on a better work schedule. I'm understanding that like, okay, this is a longer period of time. I can't just live my life in a state of high. So rather than using it to cope, I am now back on my enjoying it tip and like my music and vibing tip.
I agree.
I'm high right now. I'm so high right now.
I'm the functional potheads. When you get high, we can make talk about some shit. Enjoy the conversation.
I'm like, what even am I saying right now?
I was going to say, what's this called again?
Orangeade.
Orangeade. It hits.
Keith, how's weed helped you recently?
I would say weed has helped me understand that there's still a lot more to learn. Because even like with the knowledge that I have, like on a daily, I'm in a position where I'm blessed enough to like learn things all the time. So with like something that I feel like I know so much about, still learning about that, like it really opens my eyes and lets me know like there's so much more to be known, period. So that's one way weed has helped me. It's helped me understand the vastness of the world.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the truth. Goodness, how has weed helped me recently? Well, today alone, I got up, I got stuff done for my company, TBC, and cleaned up my house, and now I'm doing a podcast episode. Like, literally, able to go through all of it, and sometimes, like, besides Parkinson's law, which you should totally look it up, it just means that, like, the time you allot to do something is how long you'll take to do it. So today, I've done all of that in, like, 4 or 5 hours from waking up, and I just smoked, like, you know, a nice fat joint. But I was able to breeze through those things in that amount of time that I had. And now I'm here, you know, and I'm recording. Because sometimes I don't want to leave my bed. It's nice. And the world.
Yeah.
So.
Gets you going. Gets you productive. That
honestly, that's kind of the day that we've had too.
Yeah, it's so key. We like rented this little like house in Sammamish for the weekend just to like get away, change the scenery because we're tired of just like seeing our house all day, every day. And the internet over there sucks. Like we can't even connect to their internet. And like we have to use a hotspot and like the hotspot wasn't working. And like that was a stressor because we knew that we had to get this, you know, we like, how are we going to set up for our podcast if we can't even rely on the internet?
And but we figured that
we did. We were like, you know what? We're not that far from home. We also left an important piece of equipment here. So it was going to happen regardless. But it was just like, you know, it's, and it wasn't like a, instead of like freaking out about it and letting our moods be affected by it, it was like, you know, it's okay. Let's just smoke about it and let's just go home and record and we're all going to be fine.
And here we are.
And here we are. We had a joint on the way here even. It was beautiful. It was great.
It's actually been a really lovely weekend.
Weather in Washington right now is like,
yeah, what's going on?
I'm not complaining.
I will take it.
My mom actually told me a few days ago, this is old people like watching the news. I don't know why she watches the weather. States why, but right. The West Coast is going to be really nice and the East Coast is going to be really crappy this Memorial Day weekend. So have a good time because I was talking about my barbecue.
Right.
I wanted to do. I was like, okay, cool. And then it happened. I'm like, look at her. Thanks, mom. Because you know,
yes.
I'm hardcore right now, sort of. Like, you know.
Makes me sad for those on the East Coast.
Yeah.
But hey, what are they going to do, you know?
Must mean I'm getting to be old because on my weather app on the phone, I have every city from here to like back home, you know what I mean? To Rhode Island. I got Rhode Island. I mean, a few different places, Connecticut, like.
Yeah.
I've got like friends that live in different places. So like I have those ones in there just because like I'll check on them from time to time and be like, hey, it's thunder and lightning over there. Like you guys cool?
I heard it's raining. So how you doing?
Flash floods in the area? Is that near y'all?
Hey, a tornado's hitting. What about that $10 you owe me though?
Right before you're gone forever. Just Venmo me, Cash App me real quick.
No, I actually do have like different cities in Florida, but that's because I'm from there. You know, I just look at it and miss the beach a bit and go back to my regular life.
Absolutely.
On the radius of days out here, just look at the weather app and...
Yeah, look out the window and be like, damn, I wonder what the beach is doing right now. I'll be chilling. Yo, I'm doing a podcast. I can't throw your ball, kid.
Aw, I love it how it's like, so our cat's over here just slightly begging for attention as well. Like
down on the couch. Like, I'm here, you're here.
Right.
What's up?
And it's like they can hear you talking, so it's like they want to be a part of whatever's going on.
I saw that you wanted to play a little game.
Yes.
Yay, yay.
Let's jump into it. Just like a few, like we on our podcast, we love to play like random little icebreakers and games just to like one, kind of get our morning going, energy flowing. And if we've got guests, kind of like loosen them up if they've got any like jitters or anything. And for your guys' podcast, we kind of wanted to make sure that it was on theme. So we thought up a few fun would you rather questions. All right. Cool. Stuff that's going to make you kind of think and perfect for the potheads of the world. So to start it off, the first one we have is, would you rather smoke roaches for the rest of your life or one hit from a 6-foot bong daily? Like,
so who are the roaches from? Like, do I get to like, are like, wow, are they just random roaches? Because this shit matters, man. I smoke roaches, but they're my own.
Just
roaches.
Imagine that they're your roaches. You know, just imagine that, like, for whatever reason, for the rest of your life, all you have access to is just like a collection of roaches that would be yours.
Oh yeah, I'll take that. I ain't fucking on no 6-foot bong on the daily.
On a daily, just one, and I can only hit it once?
Once.
Yeah. But it's like the hit of all hits. The, like, it's a big...
Okay, so the half-life of cannabis, the high, is like, what, 30 minutes? An hour?
Regardless. You know? Really? Is that factual? I never knew
like,
that.
Hour, like, yeah. Like, so for me, I want to be able to medicate as often as I need to. Like, what if I'm stressed out? 3 hours from now, I want to be able to smoke my little roach. And
I feel that. I feel that.
Maybe it's multiple bong rips a day.
Yeah, I feel that. But that's just normal. People take bong rips on a daily anyway.
One bong rip?
I'm going people probably shot. Smoke roaches.
I feel that. I'll definitely like stop smoking something and be like, we'll just save this for later.
It'll be baked right now for what I got to do.
Right. Okay. Next. Unlimited access to Bammer weed or only access to Top Shelf, but you got to pay full price.
Top Shelf full price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that hurts to say.
Yeah.
I work at 9502, so that hurts to say. Top Shelf full price. Because otherwise, what are you doing?
What's the point? Right. Smoking grass.
Right. Like, I feel like no matter, like, if it's free weed for life or whatever, like, if it's bad weed,
I'm good.
Like, how much of that do I got to smoke it to get high anyways?
If I'm obligated to take it and just smoke it, like, I wouldn't choose it. But if I could take it, sell it, and then buy good weed with it, I'd take free weed.
Okay.
So you're talking about return on investment. I like it. Businessman.
So I thought, well, if I get Top Shelf and I'll pay full price, hope to get seeds from it, then I'll grow my own Top Shelf and eventually top shelf. That was where my head was going. I'm a
fan. I like all of it.
All right, Shantae. Ooh, so I'm cheap. So like off top, I was like, okay, you know, Bammer weed, maybe. But like me thinking about how much I like to smoke and the highs that like I like to get from the different types of stuff, it's full price for Top Shelf. Because the Top Shelf stuff too, it's a world different from strain to strain anyways, like what it's going to do and make you feel. So
yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I'm okay with paying full price for some good weed. I don't know if you guys have ever had weed on like the East Coast, but like that is weak. And it upsets me.
Okay. Hold on. Are you from here? Are you from here? Washington?
Yes.
Oh. Exactly.
You're from here?
Okay.
You're not from here.
You guys are going to make me get into it, but...
Yeah, all right.
You're right.
So I have a friend that lives in Brooklyn as well. And the weed that I've smoked out in New York has been from like Brooklyn too. So maybe that's just that region. You're right. Maybe I need to go uptown Washington Heights.
Now we know.
You have to. I've also only been to New York like a handful of times, like maybe three or four.
Same. I'm honestly being too harsh.
Okay. But like, that's why we're here. We're here to educate you because you got to smoke the weed that that area is known for too. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. What was the common one and the time period in Florida? There was is it not creepy, but.
Kryptonite.
Sticky? Was it sticky?
No, not up on the Florida
shit. I'm going to remember the name and put it in here in editing. But that shit was fire, but it was way back when I probably shouldn't have been smoking weed. You know.
I was just talking to my boy about it. I was like strand hunting and shit like 8-9 years ago in Rhode Island. Like where we are geographically, like is like where a pass through. So like everything that's going like either south to New York has to stop through Rhode Island. Anything going north into Boston, into the other states has to stop through Rhode Island. So we got a lot of different weed. Like we were like one of the first states to legalize medically. So like I was able to like really get in on things like early.
That
on.
Opens up like, everything.
Yeah, I got to smoke a lot of different shit and like grow a lot of different things and taste a lot of different things.
That's cool that you had that advantage, especially on the East Coast, because like my girlfriend that lived over there, they got in trouble for like smoking a joint in the park. And like,
oh yeah,
got fined and like, you know, like it's still rough out there for that kind of stuff.
In New York, they'll take everybody in, like everybody. Like it'll be like three people on one blunt. They'll take everybody in for one blunt.
What's that? If you rolled it fat, like, you know, depending on what kind of blunt, 1.5 to 3 grams of weed, you gonna take people to jail for 3 grams of weed? What the hell are you gonna do with that?
Like when I was younger, I was arrested for. Both times I was arrested was for a gram of weed.
Trash.
And then the third time was just for a grinder. And the judge basically like threw it out. And he's like, don't worry about it. Like it'll be legal in a couple years. And it was legal a couple years later. And decriminalized like a year after that.
Yeah. So it's dumb.
Very. Right. Right.
Spoiler of the story.
Right. Bottom line.
You got any more would you rathers? Or
we do. Oh, okay. Would you rather fail a drug test for your dream job or spend a week in jail for weed?
I spent a weekend in jail, and that shit's trash. I've also failed a piss test for a job that I really wanted. I want to say it was my dream job. But, like, what if your dream job is to smoke weed?
You feel
exactly.
My point. I failed a drug test to smoke weed, that would be trash.
I just feel like it's one of those things too where it's like it shouldn't matter. Test me for meth and all that other stuff, absolutely. Yeah. But you should not be worried about if there's weed in my system. Come on. But
that's the thing about this shit's like really the whole testing is like aimed towards weed because everything else like is metabolized and out of the system within a week, pretty much all drugs across the board. Besides, like meth is out of your system within 48 hours. Mm-hmm. So you can go on a crazy ass bender and show up for a job interview and get it.
And be fine, right.
But let you smoke a blunt or two or five, whatever. And dumb. And the funny thing is that you asked this question, municipalities are moving away from marijuana testing for employees. So that's like government jobs, like city jobs.
Right.
It's just stupid. Look at how many people are smoking weed right now, you know, right. Like in places that are selling it. The numbers are saying that it's a thing. So why are we preventing potentially great employees from working for the city and probably people more interested in making change there, right?
Right, exactly. Like,
why are we preventing them from getting a job? Because they smoke cannabis, which we're taxing and making money off of as a city. It's dumb.
It provides better insight, too, I feel like, against that fight and, like, that stigma against all these stupid minor crimes all these people are locked up for. If you get more people that are involved in these types of things, you've got more voices in those spaces that are able to make a difference. Mm-hmm. We don't have that.
No. You wanted to discuss whether or not could the federal legalization of cannabis, you know, jumpstart our economy now that it's actually suffering from COVID-19 measures, which is I would say anyone in the cannabis industry is like, duh, you know?
Absolutely.
Why has it taken so long? We probably would have never actually had these issues had you legalized it federally a long time ago. We wouldn't be much better as a country. What's your thoughts?
So I think that it's an interesting topic in and of itself, because I also think it's like, it's been working for Washington. Right. It's been working for California. It's been working for Colorado. But do you think that it's also going to change like our justice system or the way that the cannabis industry is kind of like criminalized, or like people who may be in jail for marijuana possession offenses or stuff like that? Like, do you think that there's going to be a change in the way that they handle laws? Like, will we see any change on that side as well?
I feel like more or less is something that would have to go hand in hand. If you're going to legalize federally, you can't lock people up for shit anymore. So like the money that they're getting from that goes out the window. So now they have to restructure and redevelop all these programs that were set in place to basically capture people smoking weed in the first place.
I just see it all being a very long process, but I just hope that everybody can kind of like get behind that to move it through as quickly as we need before we go into like a depression or like, you know, until this shit gets really bad.
They're not going to rush until everybody, every side is happy. You know?
Right.
So like, while it's obvious we should legalize it, besides of the like different parties that are saying, okay, I'm fine with you legalizing it if you include this measure, and then that makes them happy. And they're like, well, if you include that measure, then I want this. I guess in the grand scheme of it, it's supposed to be aimed at helping us and making sure it's an organized way of helping us. But truthfully, it's to satisfy their financial backers.
Yeah.
It's whatever party they or group of people that they're supposed to represent. They want to make sure that their people have a piece of it. So I guess it's just what democracy is and why it takes so long, but we're behind. It's not like we're starting from zero. You set us way, 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 way back. So we're starting from negative. So speed it up.
I don't know. I have a really hard time like wrapping my mind around why it takes some states or areas to catch up. I just feel like I understand there's political and religious and, you know, all that other stuff, but it's like when stuff hits the fan, they still see people who are like successfully thriving or making it work during this time. And they're like, oh, but we're going to stick it out and continue to do this because it's working for us, I guess. I have a hard time just wrapping my mind around that. I'm high.
How stubborn.
It does make sense. I think it's a generational difference, right? So our generation and younger is like, okay, change, cool. Like COVID-19, our generation, whoever, whatever we were doing with our job or our personal endeavors, we changed it to either be an online format or like that age group. The older generation, the people controlling the government, you know, they're old timey. We need to get them out. Some of them are old timey. We need to get them out of office. We did that most recently in different places, you know, with this round of voting, but we've got to keep pushing until people that actually represent our needs and our mindset to adapt and shift actually can make laws, you know, like.
I also like think about with just like liquor and alcohol and that kind of stuff. It's like, why is it so easy for everyone to kind of get behind that? And like, you know, all these deaths and things surrounding like drunk driving, and that they could capitalize on this just the same way. I don't understand. Like, why aren't they?
They need to legalize it federally, and then it'll be a free for all
things. It's literally the same thing. You have the liquor. You have the liquor and cannabis board. If that's already combined into one thing, why are you?
I think they should be separated totally anyway.
I agree. Absolutely. 100%. And so I think it's great that like in that aspect, they haven't treated it the same way. But if you're going to create the liquor and cannabis board, why is it not going to all be held to the same standard or aspect or like, you know, I don't know.
Ooh, pick me. Honestly. And the like started with people of color, I guess, you know, holding on to it and not really, I guess, tied very much so to the jazz scene, tied to people of color. Like, so the reason why alcohol made it to be very, very legal is the people that were making alcohol. and their ability to rule at in that time in America. So just in Prohibition era, it's like the mafia is running the alcohol. And then you can't say mafia doesn't have a connection to the government. Anyway, it's a bunch of conspiracy. But all I'm trying to say is that cannabis was definitely tied to the Black community. Like slaves showed how to grow hemp plants, like not just like the cannabis, you know, hemp was very useful.
Absolutely.
At a certain point in time. And that's why it was made illegal and banned. And we were sent to prison. Real, real, real painful history. And moving on.
As it just continues to be, I mean, that's our history.
One fact is alcohol industry is like the biggest enemy of the cannabis industry at this point. Wow. Especially the way things are set up in Vegas. Like the alcohol industry basically runs Vegas. So they really pressured Vegas into saying, all right, like if we're going to bring dispensaries in, the only people that can hold licenses for these dispensaries have to be people that hold licenses for like places that sell alcohol. So basically the only people that got the dispensary licenses are people that own like
people who already had a leg up in the first place.
And it's just another way for them to control it and grease the palms and kind of like push them over.
Keeping the wealthy wealthy, keeping the poor poor. Mm-hmm.
Alcohol in cannabis are not the same. I'm more than likely not going to drive my car into a pole as a result of smoking a bunch of weed. I'm going to take a nap wherever the hell I'm at. I don't know if anybody else has heard about the explosion that happened down in Cali, Los Angeles to be exact. And it's a extraction factory or location, right? Who wasn't storing their butane correctly.
No. So they were double dipping. They were an extraction factory and they were acting as distributors to people who are also extracting, but black market, because that wasn't on the books.
Oh, okay.
So this article caught my eye because in Rhode Island, where I'm from, like I want to say about 8 years back, these guys who were contracted through the state were doing extractions and they didn't store their stuff properly. They had like several canisters, CO2, butane, propane and a couple other things on the side of the building. One of their ballasts for their lights malfunctioned and created a small fire. That small fire heated these tanks and blew the fucking back and top off the building. Like, thank God nobody was there and it was like an old industrial building, but that basically set forth like the laws that we have for extraction now, which basically set the scene for this explosion to happen, because there's still, from that time till now, there still hasn't been any like regulatory actions like for things like this. And Cali is like, it doesn't make sense. The whole state of Cali consumes so much extracts a year and they have no licensed extractors.
Mm-mm. This isn't the first time that this company has had an explosion.
Can I ask why?
Inquiring mind wants to know.
Well, the standpoint, like the arguing point for like people like places in LA to not have concentrates made is because if you use pesticides, even in like minute, like when they test, when your flower's testing, it's like very minute levels. When it's concentrated, it's fairly higher levels. So they argue, like, why would we want that on the market? It's obviously dangerous. We don't want that to be sold. So.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Apparently happened in the Toy District, and it's the second, like I said, second major fire in 4 years of that area. And the same kind, I think this one took 200 firefighters to put out last time.
Holy crap!
It was crazy.
Was everybody okay?
No, not everybody. I'm sorry. No.
Like, people were hurt?
Yeah, people were hurt.
You mix any other gases into the equation like CO2 or propane, and that's a very, very volatile situation.
Oh, man, that just sounds terrible.
You know?
I would not,
not about
and
it.
I've been in a room like when I accidentally ignited a small amount of butane. and that shit was crazy. So I could only imagine, like, a large amount of butane, like the big canisters. Like, I could only imagine what that shit would be.
12 of them, 12 firefighters got injured.
Oh, man. Are many people talking about this?
I mean, in the industry, yes.
Yeah.
Are many people in the world talking about it? I doubt it. If you don't, like, know much about cannabis and you don't know anything about dabs, then this article just doesn't mean anything to you. It's just words. You can see, like, oh, people got hurt, but you can't even dive into why this should have never happened.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
This could have been prevented.
Yeah, exactly.
So how many of these, basically, situations is it going to take for them to actually start enforcing?
This is definitely going to be a situation that they're going to be forced to look at.
Because people got hurt.
Yeah, because people were injured. Like, and that, unfortunately, a lot of times that's what it takes.
Right,
especially, yeah. Like, civil servants, like, they have to. Like, they absolutely have to take some step towards fixing the issue. Because basically, laws that California have in place of just, like, very small Band-Aid on, like, a gaping wound. I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they need to address, like, a lot of things are going to have to be addressed, like extraction, licensing, distribution licensing, and, like, enforcement. And it's a vast space to cover. So, like, extendably, it's going to be a hard thing to do. But, like, it's obviously something that needs to happen.
You should have thought about that before you did this market. Or you should actually speak to the people that think about this and put your
minds together.
Like, he works in the industry. He could write this down for you.
It would also be, you know, and maybe set an example. Like, hey, we've already got this in place. And you could be, like, the model moving forward. Like,
I just don't get it. Don't get it.
Common sense isn't so common.
Not at all. Not at all. And I just wanted to do a quick shout out to my people down in Florida. I know y'all hurting. I'm sorry, because there was a huge bust down there for 2.3 million. I guess they stole millions in electricity. So it was like,
what?
Real country, rural Florida. They had two Colombians. I gotta love them. were set up and they were growing and they were rerouting electricity and just had a whole shop.
We'll say this, for every one they catch, there's probably at least another three successful. So it's damaging, it's crippling, but, like, if there's, like, I mean, there's still people doing it.
Right.
They literally didn't catch all the people. They caught one guy who bailed out for 40,000 same day.
He's gone. You know,
the other thing disappeared into the fort. Disappeared. Gone.
And now everyone else is just going to take, like, more precaution moving forward. So now it's going to be even harder. So, like,
yeah, they're going to find the snitch, I guess. They're going to find the snitch.
They're going to find the 6ix9ine in the situation.
Honestly, like, rerouting the power is the lesser of evils.
Yeah.
Had they been running generators, like, generators on the scale that they were running would have, like, fucked that land, like, completely made that land unlivable for, like, the next, like, 10 years. Yeah. Had they been running generators, pumping the, like, the wattage out that they were pumping and, like, the weed out that, yeah, they would have ruined that area for a while. Mm-hmm. So, stealing electricity, that's, man, hats off to them.
They're not hurting anybody.
No, they were actually helping people. They're, you know, if you allowed people that look like them to own it legally, they wouldn't have to do these routes. But Florida is owned by corporations. I can tell you that right now. Mass producing, and some of them are getting shut down and moving out of Florida, but it's still allowing the ones that already exist to grow bigger. So regular people are just fighting to get a shop where they can sell CBD and stuff, you know?
Right.
Well, I did want to chat about something that I saw online. I gotta choose my words here. I mean, choose them. They're going to be insulting because I just don't give a shit anymore. I'm tired of people doing this to us unnecessarily. And I'm referring to Dabbing Granny, a older cannabis influencer. And I don't know what influence she has.
We could just strip that shit off right now.
Yeah.
She's just a lady that smokes weed, though.
Hits all those crazy hits, like after a hit, doing all the crazy stuff.
Is that what that is? I've never watched her content. I'll be real, because I don't old people smoking weed ain't nothing new to me. And I don't care.
Everybody smokes weed at this point.
Exactly. So, and I've met way cooler old people smoking weed. Straight up. Had way better conversations. So, don't care
about I'm ready it. For this tea.
So, she decided to hop on her live. And I can't even tell you what the full conversation was about. Because I don't give a fuck. I'm not going back. But I saw a clip where she decided to say, get the fuck out of here, nigger.
No. It's... What's your problem, nigger?
Oh,
this shit's burning into the back of my mind. She looks dead into the camera. What's your problem?
Problem, nigger.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna drop the clip. I'm saying it. You don't have to worry. I'm gonna show her saying it. Okay. This is a person that is like supported by brands. Let me tell you, like G-Pen, like major cannabis brands and products and accessories.
I've been to industry events and like she's showed up and people are like, oh shit, dabbing grannies. Like, and people are like rushing to give this lady a dab, like just to catch it on like social media, just to say like, oh, we was dabbing with dabbing granny this, dabbing. Like always lacing her with like swag and shit like that. Yo, people love her. Like, I want to know what's the next step now. Like, what's, like, now what?
I didn't speak on it or say much on it when it happened because I was angry. And it was a few days of just really terrible news for our community. And I didn't want to say anything because I'm like, that's the least of our worries right now. But also, I want to see what the fuck she's going to say in response. Like, I want to see what you have to say for why you chose those words.
Yeah.
Is anything excusable?
No.
That's what I mean. Like,
not at all. I didn't have time right then to say something, but I wanted to see what
you. I got time now.
I have time now. And her response was, I'm not sorry for what I said.
I don't think I did anything wrong.
Hey. Results may vary.
No, I am blown.
Results may vary.
No. I have that clip too. So we can watch it. Yeah, you're going to see it. I'm not making none of this shit up. What is your problem, lady? You smoke weed. Like, where are you?
That's, for me, that's what hurts the most because it's like, I feel like within this community, it's not, we're not even supposed to have to question, like, unfaltering allies. You're like, I just thought that was, like, a given. But obviously, we, like, now it's like, damn, like, so now do we have to start checking, like, people, and the companies that back are like now what? Like nobody said, I haven't seen any of the companies like make any posts like regular companies would, like Nike would. Oh, excuse us, like that they were like a ambassador of our brand, but their views do not express how we feel.
Exactly.
Like, nobody said any of that shit. Like, so that just like
that shit's not cool.
Really me.
It's just so you're clearly comfortable representing this type of people because you have yet to say something. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even matter. Like, I don't know if pressure's been put on them or not. The fact that it's been this long.
Shout out to the Black cannabis community influencers. Tyler Therapy was the first one that brought this to my attention. Has used her platform to say up, down, left, right. Everyone's speaking. At least we are. But it's like no one really cares to listen. And it's something that I find disgusting and that I aim to battle with my platform in the cannabis industry. Like, we shouldn't have this, be discussing this at all. You know the history. I know the history. What's your issue?
Yeah, I don't support the use of the N-word by anyone non-Black, so.
I'm just not cool with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. It's just crazy.
All right, so I love to, as you mentioned, Jazz, smoke weed and listen to music. It's my therapy. So recently, I've been listening to, well, Light Up been listening to, Polo G, The GOAT. I don't know if you've heard the album, anybody?
All of the artists that I saw you guys put on the list are all artists in whom I have been told that I need to listen to, but I haven't yet. So this just further solidifies my need to.
I cannot say that I have.
Okay, word. Is he from New York, Polo G?
Polo, yeah.
Yeah, he's from New York. Yeah. No, he's from Chicago.
Chicago?
Isn't he from Chicago?
Oh, I'm thinking of, what's his face?
TJ.
TJ. Yeah.
I could be Googling this right now. I don't know why I'm asking y'all, but I believe he's from Chicago, and I just love...
Chicago.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, thank you. But his music, it's very gutter. It's sort of mumble rap. It would fall into that category. Okay. You can actually understand him and hear his pain. So it's that emo boy rap, but hard trap beats. I guess is that drill?
It like, says drill? So to follow up on confirming that he is from Chicago, it was followed up by saying with his drilled sound style or whatever. So yes, you are now
digging the dreads.
You're killing it.
Get the dreads out.
He's put me on to different drill music. I'll say that. I didn't really know New York drill, which is that where it started? Like
no, Chicago. It started in Chicago. Now it's we got Chicago, we got New York, and then we got like UK drill. Mm-hmm. They do drill and shit now too. Everybody drilling apparently.
And besides him, I've been listening to Moses Sumney, and iTunes put him as alternative, and I would say I agree. It is very trippy. Worth it if you're going on a trip to just tune in real loud and listen to his music. He dropped a visual that went with it. Like, it's all songs have a visual, and all of those are crazy. Like, he's just an amazing artist. So check him out.
I appreciate that. Great.
Yeah. I like the whole package. Now you have an opportunity to, especially if you're independent, I'm not sure if he is, but to sit on it and put out a full body of work, you know, or do something quick. But if that's not you, art is out there. So finally, Young M.A., she just dropped a mixtape called Red Flu. And I like that. I like her. I like it's all about heartbreak and like bouncing back from it. But it's like hood heartbreak. So it's over really, really dopey.
Or Henny bottles and parties.
Exactly. And so I'm like, all right, I can feel that. You know, there's a part of me that gets, you know, deep down inside, gets attached to it. So I'm cool. What about you, Keys?
My picks are Chef G, young dude. He was on the drill scene for a little while out of New York, but he just dropped the album. Shit hits, a couple summer bangers on there. And then Mozzy, Beyond Bulletproof. Mm-hmm. He's just dropping like album after album after
really
album.
Is.
He has quite a few good tracks on there, like a lot of features. I fuck with Mozzy.
Yeah. West Coast, they have some hitters.
Yeah, he's like one West Coast dude that I got into like once we got out here because everybody was talking about him. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me give him a listen, but I don't gonna fuck with him. He's got bars.
I'll start with mine. We can like piggyback.
We've basically been listening to the same music because we live together.
So definitely have been listening to a lot of like embarrassing throwbacks lately. So like old school Britney Spears and like Pink. We randomly went on like a ride not too long ago, listening to some of like Pink's like original.
I'm a hazard to myself.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff.
Don't let me get me.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah, that.
But we've definitely been bumping Kehlani's It Was Good Until It Wasn't album.
Yeah.
Because
that album is so good.
It is. It's her best body of work, I feel like, thus far.
I don't know. I get lost in every song off that album.
My favorite song is Toxic, which she put out as a single on the album. But like, I definitely can relate to Toxic because my last relationship, it's just all too familiar. Everything that kind of she was talking about. And it's just a song that I was like having on repeat just because it doesn't make me like sad or anything. It's just, it's a whole vibe, you know, like
it's a really good song.
Yeah, I just like.
And the music video. Did you guys see that music video? Check that out later.
She like made it right as like the world
quarantine started.
Like quarantine, and
it's like a home video,
and she's
and
like,
it's kind of sexy
lingerie. And, like, and she's like,
it's not kind of. It is. It's sexy.
Yeah.
Really sexy because it's
a home video.
But okay.
So remember that.
So let her. Yeah.
Made a song with Teyana Taylor, right?
Morning.
So that morning. Was sexy.
I will have to disagree for my LGBTQ community.
Oh, it wasn't believable.
It wasn't at all. It like in her face, Kehlani's, it was real dry. Like some scenes separately, but the face, there was just things as a lesbian, I just don't believe this relationship is happening.
Okay.
Or the length of Kalani's nails. Like, I just... that's just not believable, bro. As a relationship. Like,
I feel that. That's...
that video. So...
yeah.
discussion with my friend about this, like, we went in and after that I couldn't listen to the album the same anymore because I was like, is it really sexy?
So to be fair, so in Toxic she's talking about a male, this is a male perspective, or a female hetero, she's, you know, in that aspect, she's bisexual,
so so what happened?
But, like, in this Toxic video, she's also by herself. There's no, like, so, you know, it's just a solo thing. And, you know, so she's basically just, like, feeling herself in front of the camera, posing, doing all that.
Yeah, it's like she made a home video for somebody, like, for the world, for us.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It's her home video to us.
Yeah.
It's possible because she sings great. Like,
Good,
but, you know.
I feel you on that morning one, though. I definitely
I can agree. It felt forced.
That was definitely, I felt like, more for the guys.
Yeah, and I was like, it looks like a straight person shot a lesbian.
Right. Yeah, I'm lost. I have no idea. Yeah,
you gotta go check this stuff out, man.
If you watch it, tell me if you like it or not like it. How do you view this video?
If it's the way or not the way.
Well, I'm gonna have to try to look at it without the very strong opinion that you put on it. I'm gonna try to have.
Yeah. No, right. Go into it unbiased.
Yeah. Sleep on it.
And I'm just speaking for myself, you know. I'm not gonna say I'm representing all of it.
Right.
Now, it was a deep discussion, and
everybody's pretty much like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. And what else have you guys been listening to?
I've been listening to another artist. His name is Vito.
You gotta love me.
Vito, like. I have Tidal, and what I like a lot about Tidal is, like, they, like, curate those, like, daily mix playlists and all that stuff for you, and it includes music in which you already have, plus stuff, sprinkle stuff in there that you might
never heard
similar. And Vito was somebody who, like, popped up on one of these playlists, and she was like, "Ooh, I like this. Ooh, what is that?" And then here we are.
Yeah. So ever since that day, I've been checking Vito out. He actually was on The Voice. And I think he was on Team Usher. That's the one that had, like, Christina Aguilera and Blake Shelton and Adam Levine.
Yeah.
Yes, that. He was on Team Usher at one point. But his album is called For You. And it's an R&B album. And the song that we heard is Best Sex Ever. And I just really love a sexy R&B song. And honestly, the whole album is not great. I wouldn't even really recommend listening to the whole thing, but, like, definitely check it out. There's, like, one or two. There's another one called Big O' Booty. You know, Big O' Booty. He talks about some, like, red beans and rice at some point. It's kind of country, but, you know.
I came into the bathroom the other day and she was listening to the album and I was like, What is this? I don't know if I like it or not.
I liked it.
But
so much, like, I don't know.
There are some artists who put out full bodies of work that are just flame and they're hits. None of them are misses. And there are others where it's just like, okay, cool. You definitely only have an album that's got singles on it.
You have, okay. You have a single that's or two. Okay. Yeah.
You're heard.
I hear you. Look, you're on my radar for next time.
Right, right.
I'm a goat. You probably are going to develop as an artist.
Exactly.
So. And make a lot more sexy songs and a lot less big booty songs. She's figuring out his lane right now.
Exactly.
Literally.
Yes. There's hits and misses.
Or maybe there's people who are like, yo, I am here for the big booty song.
That's true too. Maybe
he's appealing to a little bit of everybody.
We had T-Pain for like 10 years, my nigga. Like, come on. Like,
I feel you. Yes.
If he can make it, somebody could make a song about a big booty.
Can we just bring T-Pain back?
I just, as a Floridian, are you talking shit about T-Pain? Or are you going
to? No. Never.
I'm just saying.
Never.
Songs about booty. That's all I'm saying. That's what I was doing. Why? Oh, yo, come on. I fucking said,
everybody was stressed.
I love it.
I was like, wait, hold on. What? Don't make
if me. T-Pain ever sees this, yo, T-Pain, I fuck with you. Like, okay. Yes. I'm not trying to make it seem like I don't, but I fuck with the whole album. That I'm High, yo, I'm High off of his first album with Styles on it. Fucking gas. Mm. All right,
man.
You dial that shit up.
Woo. Nappy Boys Robbery. That's when T-Pain was in a group before he was T-Pain, a solo artist.
And never knew about that.
Yeah. Welcome. Here's a little secret. It is a classic, okay? And it is a hood party representation. When that came on, like, oh, shit.
Was this when he was still a rapper? Because he was a rapper turned singer, right? So he was rapping.
Yeah.
Was he rapping then?
He killed it. When I tell you, hands down, his verse on Robbery. Oh, my goodness. Let that pop right now with older people in Florida. Right, the party's it. It's rocking. It's happening.
Here so, for it. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah,
I might have to listen now. Like, we might have to listen to his... I really, really, really like his first album. That first one, I can listen to that through and through. I can do that one through and through. So we might have to do that later.
A few honorable mentions on my part. Don Toliver. I've just been getting into him, like his sound. He came out with a new album called Heaven or Hell. You should check it out. It might be one that you skip around, but again, he sets a scene.
And his voice.
Yeah.
His delivery is like, that's like the riffs and shit.
Yeah.
He's one to look for.
Who would you compare it to? Is there anybody?
He's in a bag of his own.
Ooh, I love a unique sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Future just dropped an album.
Interesting.
We listened to
I don't know if I did I?
We skipped through it, remember? That's an album that not every song is a hit, you know? It's one of those where you've got singles. That's my opinion on that.
I've put it out in the shop, and like we've like had it as like background music.
Perfect.
There's been like a couple times where like me or my boy Josh be walking around. And it's like, oh, that's a future. That's future.
Right.
Future's on right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Like it's just another future album. Yeah.
He bought another ring. He just said.
I'm confused. What is his deal?
I think he's a drug addict, and not in a good way.
I know he's on Twitter and shit giving people advice and shit.
About dating and stuff.
Are you serious?
He was out here talking
about dating and baby mamas.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
He was
Lord.
Saying something reckless the other day about how like ugly girls be thinking they're in relationships all the time, and how like you shouldn't give an ugly girl attention, and like just so problematic. So problematic. That's just a nugget, like a lot. You know, that surrounding like, that bit.
He has too much time and a lot of money.
Yeah. But and not enough condoms or
something. Thank
you.
He
just doesn't know how to use them. I don't know.
And like, what?
Pay up. Pay the money.
I'm just saying, sir.
Pay it. Another future album, which is... I think it's going to get the same reviews as a Drake album would. They did the same thing where they put out content because that's all they have to do.
Yeah.
They're going to listen to some of it because of their status.
Who they are, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to make money regardless. It's just another bag. I go into the artistry of someone who's coming up, you know, that has to show you that, you know, like the mixtape artists that you get out of them where they're like grinding when they're working. Mm. Different. So old Drake versus new Drake, everyone's like, oh man, I miss the old Drake. Well, that Drake didn't have as much money as the new Drake does. So don't play his shit because it's not terrible. The production's going to be good. Some of it's going to rock and some of it's not going to.
And that's what I say. Yes.
Okay, over it. And then shout out to Priceless Scott. Pressure Makes Diamonds. She is from Tampa Bay. Definitely rocks it. Like a lyricist. Like if you want to hear Florida like lyricism, prime example right there. It's definitely a hood beat. And so when you think like City Girls, like this is Central Florida, Tampa Bay version of City Girl rap.
Ooh, I'm excited, actually. Yeah.
So, rock with it.
Like you could twerk to it kind of stuff, like booty bounce.
Like she
Ooh, okay.
Her and Buck Sosa, who's he's coming for heads. But Buck Sosa, they have a song called I think it's Tampa Bay Remix. Baby. Anyway, when her remix verse drops in the club, women are like holding on to things, shaking and twerking everywhere. But it gets live right before Rana happened and clubbing wasn't a thing, was eating up the city everywhere. Yeah, folks is twerking outside their cars to it. So
price is high. I miss outside.
This is right up my alley. Our alley, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's dope that you took the time to have a J with us until the next session. Remember, we're just four functional potheads out here trying to bring the light and truth about cannabis.